let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. There is so much to be enjoyed in the city these days. Before I tell you what you're going to enjoy and who you're going to enjoy and who's going to touch your mind, I'm going to play a little music for you, so stick around.
Why'd you run away? Don't you like my style? Why don't you come and play? I guarantee a great big smile. I come from the imagination, and I'm here strictly by your invocation. So what do you say? Why don't we dance a while? I'm the hottest swing, I'm the twisting child. When you gotta sing, when you gotta let it out. You call me and I come a running. I turn the music on, I bring the fun in. Now we're partying, that's what it's all about. 'Cause I know what you feel, girl. I know just what you feel, girl. All these melodies, they go on too long. Then that energy starts to come on way too strong. All those hearts lay open, that must sting. Plus some customers just died combusting. That's the penalty when life is but a song. You brought me down and doomed this town. So when we blow this scene back, we will go to my kingdom below, and you will be my queen. 'Cause I know what you feel,
well,
girl.
You and me wouldn't be very
I'll make it real.
What
girl,
I'm 15, so then squeeze things legal.
I can bring whole cities to ruin and still have time to get a soft shoe in.
Well, that's great, but I'm
cooking, I'm at the griddle. I bought Nero his very first fiddle.
She'll get pissed if I miss to see my sister's the slayer.
Now we're partying, that's what it's all about.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That was Teo Usueli and the Piaceri Sequence from Beat at Chinichita, and Hit and Battle doing What You Feel from Once More with Feeling, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer musical. Speaking of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the prom is around the corner, and here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome the scintillating talent of Michael Phyllis. Hello.
Hi, Marilyn. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Enjoying this day.
So tell me a little bit about the prom. Was it the Sunnydale prom, is it?
Sunnydale prom, yes. Sunnydale is the town that Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show, is based in. And Sunnydale prom is a giant-sized, immersive Buffy the Vampire Slayer experience where you get to go to Sunnydale prom, the prom from the show, mm-hmm. and meet all of the characters, well, a lot of them anyway, mm-hmm. the huge show, and get to experience one night in Sunnydale with all of the fun and danger and sexiness and teen angst that an episode of Buffy would entail. And it's over at the San Francisco Mint, where the Terror Vault takes place every year, mm-hmm. put together by Into the Dark Productions, run by Peaches Christ mm-hmm. and David Flower. Mm-hmm. And so I've been collaborating with them on this project. I wrote and directed it, and they were kind enough to co-produce and invite me into their amazing space, where I know you've been to the Terror Vault, Marilyn.
Mm-hmm. I was. Mm-hmm. I actually was one of the Eyeless Mutants last time. So it was fun.
I love it. I love it. It's always so fun. I go every year. And so, you know, when we all pitched this together, it was just like I get to go and play in their beautiful clubhouse mm-hmm. And work with all of their incredible crew and then bring a lot of the sort of drag and burlesque and immersive theater folks from my world into theirs, and we've just created this huge, really fun, surprising show that that kind of sprawls through this crazy building. If anybody has not been there, this is a great opportunity to see it mm-hmm. In this really immersive walkthrough experience.
So you said that you were writing it. Are you a big Buffy fan?
I'm a huge Buffy fan. Yes, I used to watch Buffy when I was in high school. They were around the same age. You know, I graduated high school in 2000, and Buffy graduated in 1999. She was
okay.
Class of 99. So we were sort of contemporaries, and it was also, you know, the show was very queer. It was very sci-fi. It was mm-hmm. sort of all about this sort of chosen one with these powers that couldn't be talked about, and sort of she had to be in the closet about it. So it always had a very queer narrative.
Uh-huh.
And it was also just a lot of fun. And so I was a big fan growing up. I watched all the episodes. There were 7 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I moved to San Francisco, you know, years later at the Oasis, they started doing a drag version of Buffy,
mm-hmm.
Which was sort of season by season. So they started with season 1, and I auditioned for it, thinking, oh, it would be so fun to play Cordelia, who's sort uh-huh. of like the sassy, popular girlfriend. So that's what I auditioned for. And then Darcy, who was directing, Darcy Drollinger, who mm-hmm. owns Oasis, drag mm-hmm. warrior of San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
she was like, you know what? I want you to read for Buffy. And I read for Buffy and ended up getting it. And we did 5-6 years of Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
wow.
the drag version,
uh-huh.
parody on stage,
mm-hmm.
Which I know you came to, Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
We did the seasons 1, 2, and 3, and then we did the musical episode several years.
Mm-hmm.
So Once More with Feeling and How You Feel, the song you just played, mm-hmm. very close to my heart.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a huge Buffy fan. So it was really fun to get to go into this experience thinking, okay, well, we've done the drag version. We've done these parodies. People love it, by the way. Buffy fans are some of the biggest fans in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people from all over the world come to see the drag Buffy at Oasis. And so now with a much larger space and opportunity to have a lot more of the characters and to really populate the world a little bit
mm-hmm.
and to bring the audience into the world, it really opened up the potential of what we could do in there. So in this experience, you get to walk through and you see characters and moments from all 7 seasons
mm-hmm.
of the show,
mm-hmm.
which is really exciting for Buffy fans in particular who know all of this stuff and who it's like, it's canon, you know?
Right, just, right.
They know the moments and I love that experience. But it's also really important to me that people that have no context of Buffy can
uh-huh.
also come in
yes.
and hear a great story and have a great time and don't feel excluded from it. So I think we've done a pretty good job at Sunnydale Prom of giving you a little bit of both, something for the uninitiated and something that just truly is for the fans.
Yeah, I did see it and I did enjoy it. I enjoyed Buffy's mom at the beginning. She was hilarious. I thought I enjoyed every, I just thought it was fun. And I had a friend that I didn't invite because she gets scared really easily. And then I was like, oh, I could have brought her to this show.
You know, that's the thing is that with this, Terror Vault is so scary and I love it.
Uh-huh.
I love the Terror Vault. I love being scared, you know. But with this experience we thought, well, you know, Buffy on TV it was network, you know, it's a horror comedy.
Uh-huh.
And while there's definitely fights and stunts and exciting thrills, and some some sort of like adultish content,
mm-hmm.
it's still very much network television. So with this we were like, okay, it's a scary, these, you know, we go through a graveyard, we go through, you know, haunted houses, we do a seance, all in the show, Sunnydale Prom.
Mm-hmm.
But none of it's too scary. There's not a lot of jump scares.
Right, right.
There's moving through the dark a little bit, but it's all sort of couched in this sort of, we're evacuating the school, we're having an adventure
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. So it's a little less horror and a little more fun and thrills.
Yes.
Like a thrill ride. Think of it like a Disney ride.
Yeah. So for people who want to go see or who want to attend Sunnydale Prom, what days and how do they get tickets?
So Sunnydale Prom is playing for the next 2 weekends at the San Francisco Mint. That is on 5th Street downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go to sunnydaleprom.com. Really easy to remember.
That is.
To check out the showtime. So we have performances Thursday through Sunday, including Friday, Saturday, and those are at 7 p.m. And we run until June 9th.
Excellent.
So get your tickets at sunnydaleprom.com.
Very cool. Well, Michael Phyllis, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for coming to the prom. I'm so glad you survived.
Oh, it was fun. Yes, I did survive, and I had a blast.
And we partied in the bronze afterward, and we had
a nice day. That was so much fun. I have some questions, so stay on the line, because I have some questions about the some of the stuff. So
you got it.
Okay, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to check out Sunnydale Prom at the Old Mint, which is down on 5th Street between Market and Mission. So, you know, think about it.
What a lot of fun. You guys have been real swell. And there's not a one who can say this ended well. All those secrets you've been concealing, say you're happy now. Once more with feeling, now I gotta run. see you all in
figure I'd pull off the road and stop for the night at the Panhandle. Good motel. The lady at the desk said,
"Enjoy your stay, Mr. Collins."
She gives me my key.
Room 66.
Okay. I walk down there and open the door, step in, see something a little funny. I step out. So I walk back down to the office and ring for the lady. Drop my key on the desk.
She said, "What's wrong, Mr. Collins?"
I said, "What's wrong?" "Well, honey, there's already someone in that room. He's got the air conditioner turned up high, and he's sitting up in the bed looking at TV. Eyes wide open. Except he got an eyes pick into the neck. So I guess I'll be checking out."
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That's John Zorn's Heiko Killer featuring Albert Collins. It is 12:20 and I've got on the line for you people who are going to be touching your mind in a way that's going to make you want to run out and see their production. I'd like to welcome Margot Hall and Naomi Izuka. Welcome.
Hello there.
Thank you.
Hello. So you've got a show happening at the Magic Theater in conjunction with a Campo Santo. I'd like our listening audience to hear it from you directly.
Great. Is this for Margot, Naomi, or just dive in?
Just dive in.
Well, I'll talk a little bit about the show. It is called Garuda's Wing, and it is showing at the Magic Theater, June 5th through 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
We're really excited to have Naomi, our playwright, back again. Campo Santo has worked with Naomi for many, many years. One of the first plays that we did was a play by Naomi called Polaroid Story, which I have gone on to direct three times in my career. So I am a big fan of her work. Good morning, Naomi.
I am a big fan of Campo Santo. I think that what is so beautiful about Campo Santo and the Magic Theater mm-hmm. is that the work that they're doing, I think, is so timely and also responsive to the questions that are, I think, alive in us right now about, you know, how we treat one another and how we treat the planet.
So tell me a little bit first about Garuda's Wing, how you came to write it, and some of the other works that you have done. And I'm throwing
sure.
this one out to Naomi.
Sure. Yeah, Garuda's Wing started a long time ago, and I worked on it about 20 years ago, I think, something like that. And I just had a few pages, and at that, in a workshop, I had Sean San Jose, who's a wonderful actor as well as artistic director mm-hmm. of the Magic Theater, was a part of that workshop. And we kind of kept the conversation going on and off, which mm-hmm. is such a wonderful way to work. And then not that long ago, he said, you know, it would be great if you return to that play that you started such a long time ago, because it feels really something that speaks to our time right now, because it is about our relationship to the environment, and it's about capitalism, and it's mm-hmm. about how we treat one another. It takes place in Borneo, you know, very far away from where we are, but actually the story is very very much a story that I hope speaks to all of us. It certainly is a story that embodies questions that I have about yeah, about how we strike a balance and how we do the right thing.
So give us an overview of the plot.
I'm going to let Margot do that because okay. I sometimes can talk too much. I'm going to let Margot. She's so succinct, and that's why she's a wonderful director.
Oh, thank you, Naomi. The play travels from the past to the future, and you get to meet different folks from the United States
mm-hmm.
who are in a place called Kalimantan, which is deep in the jungle of Borneo.
Okay.
And over time, you get to witness how our relationship, well, the characters in the play, their relationship to the earth. And you get to see folks on different sides of the argument mm-hmm. of, do you save the different species of the jungle in order to not colonize the folks there and all of their precious plants.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of the argument of, we need these plants to create medicine to heal folks.
Right.
And so who has the right to what? It's a big question I think we have when we make decisions as Westerners to say, we're going to go into a place and take their precious metals, for mm-hmm, example, mm-hmm. so that we can create this amazing jewelry. But when we go into that place, we are destroying parts of their ecosystem. But is it proper to say, well, but we need these things. We need these things. We need these precious jewels. It's the same things with medicine. We need to go into this place and get these plants so we can cure cancer.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you go into the place, are you destroying the ecosystem for the folks who are there?
Right.
And it really makes us take a look at our choices in life, which, you know, electric cars or not. When you say, yes, electric cars are great, but then what do you do with all the batteries?
Right.
So it's that question that constantly comes up, and a lot of it comes back to capitalism and who has the power and the money and the resources. They get to make the choices they want to make, and others lose.
Okay. All right. So in this play, who are the characters that we're going to meet, and who are the actors that embody those characters?
You're going to meet Ellen and Michael,
mm-hmm.
who are characters in Kalimantan. Again, the entire play takes place in one place over time.
Okay.
And the actors for that scene is Juan Amador and Nora El Samahe.
Okay.
And then we travel a little forward. I say we fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
and we meet Catherine Castellanos, who plays Julia.
Mm-hmm.
Then we move forward again, and we meet Mia Tagano and Kina Cantor, and they play Alice and Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet Janae Simon, who plays Grace.
Okay.
And Juan Amador returns to the final scene as the stranger.
Okay. So what were some of the challenges in trying to make a story that told the story you wanted to tell, but it's a huge story? So what were some of the challenges in telling the story? And that's to you, Naomi.
That's such a great question. And I want to say that I think inside your question is the challenge. It's a really big story. So what's your entry point?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you tell the story in, you know, an hour and a half, you know? And I think I want to say that Sean and this current ensemble of actors and Margot have been extraordinary in terms of helping me see, you know, because the script that I came in with, and this is the beautiful thing in theater, is it evolves, right? Mm-hmm. So I brought in a script, but then, you know, Sean and Margot had a thought about how time works and location, and that, you know, that allowed me to sort of see, and Margot mentioned it, you know, really the thing that stays the same is the location, because that's what people are fighting over and that's what people have different ideas about. And then, and that was a huge epiphany for me. I didn't quite see it in that clearer way. And then these actors they're just amazing. I've said this to Margot. I've said this to Sean. I feel like the actors are cracking open the characters in ways that I could never have even imagined. You know, I had an mm-hmm. idea, mm-hmm. and then I listened to the actors say the words, and I watched them interact with one another. And the initial idea I had, it also evolves and grows. And I just feel immensely thankful and really excited for people to see these just incredible actors live and just, you know, a few feet away from you. It's just amazing.
Well, I want to explore that, because I think this is the first time I've ever heard a writer say that the actors brought out something that they didn't even know was there until they saw the actors do that. So when you see that, does it make you want to revisit the works, or are you just, or were you just thinking, oh my God, I didn't even know that was there?
Well, I mean, both, but in a very practical sense, absolutely. It makes me want to go back after rehearsal and look at a section of a scene and go, you know what, that there was something here mm-hmm. that I'm so inspired by. And I want the writing to catch up with the wisdom of the actors. And I think, you know, I've been writing plays for a while, mm-hmm. and I always intuited this, and it's only become a stronger feeling as I've gotten older. Mm-hmm. I really feel that what actors are and do is that they're these kind of, I think they're almost prophetic. You know, they're like mm. the people that kind of can read the future, mm-hmm. and I feel that way a lot in rehearsal, that the actors see what nobody else sees, including me, including the writer, and it's my job to just listen really closely and catch up with them.
Well, what was an example in the show of something that you, that once the actor did it, you were like, oh my God, I didn't even realize. Is there something that you can touch on?
I mean, there are a bunch, too many to
sure.
you know, to explain, but I'll give you one, and Margot may have some as well. I mean, Margot is herself an incredible actress, but she, in this capacity, she's also a director. Nora, who plays Ellen, who's one of the first characters you meet, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that I knew intellectually and I relate to emotionally is that Nora is a mother, mm-hmm. and she's a mother, I don't relate to this, but she's a mother who made a decision to leave her child. Okay. And that's not a decision I have made, but it's a decision I have an immense amount of empathy for. And I understood it intellectually, but then as I was listening to Nora read this character, that sense of loss and that trauma, it really is a trauma, mm-hmm. it really became clear in a way that I hadn't realized when I was writing the character initially, how much that sense of loss colors what she does and informs what she does. It's a sense of loss that she experiences in a way every moment of every day. And even though she understands why she's made the choices she's made, that kind of pain mm-hmm. and how it's covered up and then also how it burbles up was something that Nora really helped me understand in a really deep way.
So it's mm-hmm. what's funny is as a writer, it's almost like you're a conduit, like there's something coursing through you that you don't even realize is there. It's just, it gets out there and then the world gets to respond to it.
Oh, Marilyn, I hope you're right. I would love to be a conduit. I am. That's great.
So for our listening audience who's before I go, why is it called Garuda's Wing?
I I kind of don't want to give it away.
Oh, okay.
What I'll say is that Garuda's wing means more than one thing.
Oh, okay.
And you hear about it in the beginning of the play, and then you hear more about it at the end of the play. So it is something that, in a way, is a mystery that when you come and see the play, it's a mystery that will be revealed.
Got it. I like a mystery. So for our listening audience who...
Naomi is really amazing at infusing mystery and myth into her works. And so it's a practical story, but it includes a lot of mystery and intrigue.
Well, Mr. San Jose to remember it all this time. But for our listening audience who wants to go to this play, when and where and how do they get tickets?
Yes. The play is at the Magic Theater, which is in Fort Mason, which is at 2 Marina Boulevard. You can get tickets at the website, which is Magic Theater. And theater is spelled theatre .com. You can go there and get tickets. We'll be showing Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 4 p.m.
Excellent. And if people want to find out more for both of you, for Naomi, about what you're doing and the things you've done in the past, and also for Margo, what you're doing and things you're planning to do in the future, how can they stalk you online?
I would say I am also the artistic director of the Lorraine Hansberry Theater.
Ah.
So if they wanted to learn more about LHT and the work we're doing there, our website is lhtsf.org. Mm-hmm. Please visit our website to see what shows we have coming up in the fall. And we are also located in the Magic Theater.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. And Naomi?
If people want to see another side of the work I do, in addition to writing for theater, I also write for television. And I wrote for a limited series that's on right now on Max called The Sympathizer.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also watch another show that is called Tokyo Vice on Max that I also wrote for. And both of them have mysteries, actually, because it's something that I spend a lot of time thinking about, the sort of various mysteries of our existence. So that's one way that you could get to know my writing a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, for our listening audience, on behalf of our listening audience, I want to thank you both for being on the show today. And I've been told that I can give away tickets, which is very exciting. So I want to thank you for that.
Yay. Yes, thank you, Marilyn. It's always good to talk to you. Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much, Marilyn.
Thank you. Okay, people of Earth, Garuda's Wing at the Magic Theater. And I've got tickets to give away. I can give away a pair of tickets for June 5th and June 6th. All you need to do is call in and I will give them to you because I don't want to make you work. It's a holiday. I don't want to make you work, but I do want to make you listen to music.
Thank you.
That song is so pretty. It's the Bulgarian, or Les Mystères des Voix Bulgares. The name of the song is Come Into Leaf, Thou Forest. It's from a cathedral concert. It's fabulous. You also heard Memphis Slim and Mother Earth. And it's the day that we welcome our librarianistas. I had a caller who's all excited because we have a librarianista. So yay, yay, yay. I'd like to welcome my librarianistas du jour, Ashley Marshall. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So Ashley, how long have you been a librarian?
I've been a librarian for about a year and a half.
Oh, yeah. So you're new to the book game.
Yes.
What inspired you to become a librarian?
Well, I've always, ever since I was a kid, I love libraries. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people say that. But I grew up in the Bay Area and we'd go to the Contra Costa library branches a lot, and Oakland libraries, and, just being around books, I've always loved that. And I in high school, actually, I had a sort of internship, a sort of assistant position during a semester where I was a librarian assistant, and I would help in the library, and I realized, like, oh, okay, I really like customer service. I really like being, helping students in various ways. And then I went to school for, I have a bachelor's in English, so it kind of tied into, like, my interest in reading and creative writing. And but I was actually in law firms for about 10, like, working in law firms for about 10 years before I sort of decided, like, oh, I want to do something where I help people. So I sort of started to think, I did a lot of volunteer work with seniors and with the community. And then one day I had a conversation with my landlady, who is now an employee at SFPL as well. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about her master's. And I said, I think I want to do this. And I just got into it. And I've never looked back.
See,
love it.
I love that because, a lot of times, like, something will look very fun and great on the outside, but then you get into it and it's hell.
Yes.
Whereas this sounds like you got into it and it was like everything you'd hoped it would be.
I figure, if I totally hate it, I'll go back to law firms.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, okay. So which branch of the library do you work at?
I currently work for the bookmobile. So just recently transitioned from Ocean View branch, and now I work at the children's book with the children's bookmobile.
And the bookmobile, like, does it travel from place to place, or is it in one specific place? How does it work?
So during the school year, we focus on going to visiting school sites, daycares, preschools, in communities that don't necessarily have a brick and mortar library branch nearby, or schools that don't necessarily have they might not have a library at their school. So we go to them, so they have library access.
So are there schools in San Francisco that don't have libraries?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, at least the ones, we do visit schools that that need library service. So,
come on, SFUSD, get on that. Every school requires a library. Come on now.
Yeah, well, and we do a lot of visits to preschools as well, and they don't have libraries. We go to Treasure Island as well, and they don't have a branch library there. So we do a lot at Treasure Island.
Okay.
And we go to the parks too. We go to the different parks around the city, and we meet patrons there as well.
And how do people know that the bookmobile, are they there at regular intervals, or do you just show up someplace like magic?
No. we do have a schedule. It's online, sfpl.org. And you can look up the bookmobile schedule. We do have our Swing Into Stories, which is every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So every Tuesday we go to a different, four different locations. So the first Tuesday, second Tuesday, that's our schedule. So we go to just different parks. So we go to Garfield Park on the first Tuesday of every month. And then we go to, let me have my schedule. And then we go to Court Playground on the second Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
And Hilltop Playground and Redwood Grove Playground at McLaren Park on the fourth Tuesday. And we have story times at 10:30. Yeah.
And since school is out during the summer, then how does your modus operandi change?
Yes. So then, the school year, we're going to all these schools. During the summer, we do visit some schools who are doing summer school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they still have access through the summer, and a lot of teachers really love that because they do summer school too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also change our service, so we go to a lot of parks, more mm-hmm. parks during mm-hmm. the summer, mm-hmm. where there's going to be day camps, and then those kids get access to the library as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you work in the bookmobile, or do you sort of oversee what happens with the bookmobile?
I work physically inside the bookmobile, but then we're also outside too. I mean, especially when we're parking or we're at a park or we're at a school, mm-hmm. I'm getting out of the bus. I'm just, you know, talking to teachers, talking to students. I'm inside the bus helping kids find things, helping parents find things. So kind of it's a job where you're not stationed. You're in and out of the bus. You're going around the community all around. So yeah.
So when kids go to the bookmobile, like I have a library card and I check it out and I can take it back to my branch. So how does it work with the bookmobile?
So it's still part of the same system. So mm-hmm. kids can check out a book on the bookmobile, return it at their branch. They can check out a book at their branch and then they can return it to the bookmobile. Oh, okay. We're all connected. So we'll get our books back. The branches will get their books back.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Now, for the kids, like I know there are parents out there who they've already determined which of their kids loves to read and they're trying to figure out, well, what should I recommend? So what are some of the popular books this year? You know, like and obviously the older series, those are easier to. But what are some of the ones that may not be necessarily on an adult's radar yet?
Ooh, that's a that's a tough question. I'm still kind of like learning a lot about what the kids like. Mm-hmm. More like on topics
like sure. like
a lot of kids who were dinosaurs. Yeah, a lot of kids are really into insects right now.
Oh,
like ladybugs specifically. I've gotten a lot of requests for that. We do have a lot of parents who are looking for they have kids who are multilingual, so mm-hmm. We do stock the bus with like Spanish and Chinese language books. Graphic novels are really popular right now with the older kids.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to topic wise, space is a big topic that we're always pulling for kids, and Roblox and Minecraft, of course.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So at the bookmobile, we sort of organize everything by topic.
Okay.
And so it's kind of so in my mind when I'm like pulling books out, I'm looking for like the topics that we've categorized everything in. Yeah.
So I know it's like dinosaurs, sharks, you mentioned space, you mentioned insects, the graphic novels.
Kitties. Drawing.
Oh, okay.
How to draw stuff. That's a huge one.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially kawaii is like a big, kawaii is like a, no, or chibi. It's like little characters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So kids love like checking out books on how to draw. That's like a big one.
Well, what I've noticed about the kids' books that teach you how to draw is they actually teach you how to draw. They don't just go, okay, here's how you draw an eye. And then you're looking at this fully articulated eye and you're like, I can't follow any of the things.
It's really cute.
Yeah. So what's coming up that you want to let our listening audience know about?
Well, one big thing that's coming up with the SFPL is Summer Stride. So mm-hmm. we really want to promote our Summer Stride. You can come into the library and sign up for Summer Stride, or you can sign up sfpl.org/beanstack and you can sign up online. You do 20 hours of reading, learning, playing, creating, and you can get your tote bag or pencil pouch. This year it's new, doing two different prizes. And then for adults and teen, you can do a bingo card. And instead of doing the 20 hours, you do a bingo card, and then you can come back in and get your prize that way. So, and we're also doing a ton of STEM programming at the library, free books, and so come into your local branch or the bookmobile. And
So free books about the different STEM subjects?
Oh, so we're doing librarian-led STEM programming at the branches,
okay.
And then both the branches and also the bookmobile will have free books to give out to okay. families. Yeah.
And I always forget what STEM stands for. It's like science,
technology, engineering, math.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's also STEAM, which includes art, but
we
try to do more science-focused kind mm-hmm. of for STEM. So, that'll be some really fun experimental kind of librarian-led programming. Our librarians are excellent at doing STEM programming. So,
and is that happening also in the bookmobile or at specific branches?
Mostly at the branches. Okay. We will have some programming at the Bookmobile, I believe, but I'm not privy to that information at the moment. But the branches will all have programming going on. Check sfpl.org and you can go to events and you can filter by location or by what you're interested in. We will have tons of presenters and performers and workshops, art workshops as well, that are going on the branches. And I guess I would also, again, say that come into our swing into stories at the Bookmobile, at the parks that I mentioned. And then we'll also be stationed at parks on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays every week. And that schedule is Mondays at 9:30 to 11:30 we'll be at Glen Canyon Park. Mm-hmm. Tuesdays we'll be at Sunset Rec Center. Wednesdays we'll be at Crocker Amazon Rec Center. And then Thursdays we'll be at Stern Grove at the dog park.
Okay. Yeah. And one of the things I want to just point out to my listening audience, because there are a lot of people who maybe don't like looking up stuff online, but there is a printed schedule of what happens. And is it a monthly?
Monthly. It's called the At the Library ATL. It's mm-hmm. It's our hard copy newsletter. And you can go into any branch and even the Bookmobile. And we have that those to give out to anyone. And it has all of the branches programmings having for the month, the story times, adult programming, book recommendations, information about Summer Stride. So yeah, pick one up. It's really informational.
I like having something physical because it's really easy with digital things for me to not even notice it. You think, I'll put this in my calendar, and then it never happens. But with something physical, you go, oh, there, yeah, I circled that. I was interested in that.
Yeah. There's a lot going on this summer, so.
What else is going on that you want to let us know about?
Yes. So one thing I was going to promote was on June 4th, which mm-hmm. is in, it's a Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month, mm-hmm. we are going to be at Garfield Park, and we'll be doing story time with Cindy Santa Maria. She's our Summer Stride artist this year. Mm-hmm. So she's going to be doing, we'll be doing a bilingual story time at Garfield at 10:30 a.m.
Okay.
And then you can also see the Bookmobile will be at the San Francisco Friends of the Public Library book sale block party. So you can go and you can buy books that support the library through Friends.
Where's that?
It's going to be at 1630 17th Street.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's Soma. Yeah.
Yeah. 1630 17th.
Potrero. Yeah.
Okay.
It's where the Friends, bases, I think.
Oh, okay.
And that's going to be from 12 to 5. And then we'll also be in the Pride Parade. So you can see the Youth Mobile will be in the Pride Parade and I will be on it.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're almost out of time. So I'm going to give you, you've got one more minute if there's one more thing you want to let our listeners know about.
I would say that I just want to, I'll keep promoting our Summer Stride. Come mm-hmm. in, get your freebies, get your summer learning in, get your reading in. Come visit a branch you've never seen before. Come meet the staff and come do something fun.
Excellent. Well, Ashley Marshall, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Okay, thanks so much.
And people of Earth, the library, it's free. There's so much to do. We love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. So take advantage of, there's also all kinds of educational stuff that you can get for free that would normally cost an arm and a leg, but you have a library card, so it'll cost you nothing. So go do the library, go enjoy it, go have a great time. I'm about to go out and have a great time because I can. I am going to leave you with a little bit of musicas. It is from the CD, The Prisoner's Song. It's called I Thought It Was Raining. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.